Good afternoon, everybody. Shmuel Plotzker coming at you live. It's book club class, Goldman Synagogue's weekly book club class, and we're doing the majesty of Rosh Hashanah in honor of the upcoming high holidays. And so we are going to conclude the first section of the book, which is dedicated to Malchios, the verses having to do with God's kingship. We're going to conclude Malchios with the Pasuk of Shema Yisrael, the famous declaration of faith of every Jew. The Shema Yisrael, the hero Israel. So we're going to see that right now. This is the 10th and final pasuk that kind of caps off the Malchios, the kingship. The question is, where do you see any mention of God's kingship in that verse? Let's take a look. We're on page 125 in the book, The Majesty of Rosh Hashanah, Understanding Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofaros by Rabbi Shimon Mordechai Cohen. Excuse me, page 125. Conclusion of Malchios. One verse from the Torah, the 10th verse of Malchios. Shema Yisrael, hear, O Israel. Hashem Elokeinu, God is our God. Hashem Echad, God is one, or the one and only. That's from Deuteronomy, Devarim, chapter 6, verse 4. This last climactic verse in Malchios is the essence of Judaism and of our connection with God. The Torah commands us to recite this verse twice a day. This shows the paramount importance of its message. Our sages refer to this mitzvah as Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim, acceptance of the yoke of heaven, accepting God as our king. What then is the difference between our recital of this verse in Malchios on Rosh Hashanah and saying it every day? Rabbi Yitzchak Huttner, famous for his role as the Rosh Yeshiva of Shivas Rabbi Chaim Berlin in Brooklyn, New York, for many, many years. Rav Huttner explained that Rosh Hashanah is the day of Hashem's coronation. In Malchios, in these verses having to do with God's kingship, it is as if we are establishing His kingdom. Top 126. In our daily recital of Shema, we accept God's already established kingdom upon ourselves. Let's think about the difference a little more. When we say Shema every day, we're not praying to God. We fulfill the Torah's command to recite this verse, concentrating on its meaning. By doing so, we accept the Malchus, the kingship of God. Reciting this verse in Malchios on Rosh Hashanah, with these other 9 verses of kingship, it's different. Rosh Hashanah is the day of judgment, when we ask Hashem for the gift of life. Our minds are clearer and our hearts are open. We are ready to internalize what we are saying. When reciting the verse of Shema in Malchios, we are standing in prayer, telling God directly that He is our King. By doing so, we devote our very lives to Him. If we succeed in reciting this verse on Rosh Hashanah, in this portion called Malchios, kingship verses, if we recite this verse in a meaningful way, our twice daily Shema will begin to make more of an impression on us. Throughout the year, we will be able to tap in to the inspiration of Malchios, this Rosh Hashanah-oriented 10-verse program, allowing that inspiration to permeate our lives. Shema Yisrael is the climax of Malchios, the foundation of our relationship with God. Again, this verse, Shema Yisrael, which is going to be appearing at the very, very end of all the 10, it's the 10th and final verse. So this verse, Shema Yisrael, he writes, it's the climax of Malchios, of this, you know, subsection. There are 3 sections, Malchios, Shofaros, and Zichronos, verses having to do with kingship, verses having to do with the shofar, and verses having to do with God's remembering everything. So Malchios, God's kingship. Shema Yisrael, this verse, is the climax of the Malchios kingship verses, the foundation of our relationship with Hashem. Let's take the time to learn its meaning afresh. We begin the commentary to this verse with a few points about its tremendous importance. Number 1, Shema, accepting the kingship of Hashem. The Ramban writes, Nachmanides writes on the verse in Exodus chapter 20, verse 2, that the purpose of the miraculous events of Yetzias Mitzrayim, of the departure from Egypt. The purpose of those miraculous events, says Nachmanides, was to openly prove the existence of God. He always has and always will exist. He created everything out of his own desire to do so. The Almighty's hashgacha, his knowledge of even the deepest secrets, and his absolute control over all earthly and heavenly forces were clearly demonstrated. His ability to override the laws of nature shows that he is the one who established the world and its order. He continually maintains and renews its existence. The first of the Ten Commandments, writes Ramban, Nachmanides, requires us to believe in the above principles and to accept upon ourselves to serve God, who redeemed us from slavery in Egypt. By the way, we're on the top of page 127. Once again, the first of the Ten Commandments, writes Nachmanides, requires us to believe in the above principles, that he created everything. He has the deepest knowledge of everything. He controls all earth and nature. And also to accept upon ourselves to serve God, who redeemed us from slavery in Egypt. Here's a footnote. Rav Shach in Avi Ezri writes that he always used to have a question. Why does the Torah command us to believe in God? Surely his existence is an obvious fact. It would be impossible for there to be a world, let alone such a sophisticated one, without a creator. The mitzvah would surely have been to know, not to believe. But the mitzvah should be, instead, know that there's a God. Because it's obvious that there is. So, know that, understand that intellectually. But to believe, it's like, you have some kind of like blind faith that there's a God. What else could there be? Look around you. Who made the trees over here? Who made those elephants, the sharks, the whales, little tiny ants? God made the world exactly 93 million miles away, my father would remind me. 93 million miles away from the sun. Any more, it'd be a little bit colder here. Any less, it'd be a lot hotter here. So it's just right. Now, of course, you got to stay out of the sun and try to stay warm in the cold, but 93 million miles is just about right. And God knew exactly where to place the earth. Any hotter, and it's way hot. Any colder, and it's way cold. This is just right. That's because God knows what he's doing, because he created the galaxies. Try to imagine a being who created the galaxies. Try to wrap your mind around that for even a second, and you'll realize who you're up against any given moment, and how it doesn't pay to fight him, but rather to get on his good side and start doing things that are correct and good and godly. 93 million miles away, just right. Nature, unbelievable out there. Come on. Water, air, animals, sea, the sea creatures. It's just amazing what's going on out there. God made all that. So you don't have to believe that he's there. You just have to know the fact that he's there. This is troubled Rav Shach. Why does Hashem say that I want you to believe in me? Rav Shach writes that he asked this question to the Brisker Rav, who told him that he had put the same question to his father, the famous Rav Chaim Brisker. Rav Chaim Brisker's answer was that knowing about the existence of God, as far as human intellect can grasp, is knowledge, not faith. However, there are aspects of Emunah which our minds cannot fathom. We are limited in our ability to understand the metaphysical. So restricted are we by physical concepts of time and place. Hashem transcends all such limitations. His essence is beyond our ability to understand. We can only grasp that he exists. We can see his works all around us, and we know of his great revelations in Egypt and at Sinai. The mitzvah of emunah, of belief, is to believe in those aspects of his existence which we know from the Torah, but which our intellects are just too small to understand. Going back to our text, the first of the Ten Commandments, says the Ramban, requires us to believe in the above principles and to accept upon ourselves to serve God who redeemed us from slavery in Egypt. By reciting the Shema, says the Ramban, we fulfill that mitzvah. Shema is our affirmation of emunah in God. This affirmation is called Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim, the acceptance of God as our King. There is a footnote over here that I want to share with you. By reciting Shema, Ramban continues, we fulfill the mitzvah of accepting upon ourselves to serve God. Here it says the footnote, the Reishis Chochma, quoting his Rebbe Rav Moshe Kotovero, famous Kabbalist, writes that when we recite the Shema twice a day, We are fulfilling the mitzvah of emunah in God. He continues that one should make sure to concentrate on the oneness of God, that God is the creator and that he alone has complete control over heaven and earth and in all four directions, based on the Gemara in Brachos 13b. In the Shema, we're also affirming our belief in the second of the Aseres HaDibros, not to have any gods beside the Almighty. Although the mitzvos of emunah in God and in his oneness are constant mitzvos, as stated below, the recital of Shema is the specific time when we would concentrate on their fulfillment. The importance of Shema as the source of our emunah in the unity of Hashem is demonstrated by the fact that the parasha of Shema is written in our tefillin and mezuzos. Nachmanides writes in Shmos in Exodus 13 that the parshios, the paragraphs of the Shema, are inserted into tefillin to be bound next to our hearts and on our heads because they encapsulate the mitzvah of Yichud Hashem and the entire root of emunah, of faith. Subsection 2, Shema, the unity of Hashem. Our verse, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, our verse has another important role. Shema Yisrael teaches us that it's a mitzvah to believe that Hashem is one. Top 128. The first of the Ten Commandments, the mitzvah of belief in Hashem, is one of the 613 mitzvos, the first in Maimonides' list of positive commandments. The verse Shema Yisrael is the source of another mitzvah, the second in Rambam's list. This is known as the mitzvah of Yichud Hashem, belief in the unity of God. These two are among a group of six constant mitzvos, which apply every moment as that we are alive. Regarding the mitzvah of Yichud Hashem, belief in the oneness of God, the Sefer HaChinuch writes as follows. We are commanded to believe that it is God who is the maker of all existence, that he is one, without any other being sharing in his power. As it is written, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, God is our God. God is the one and only. This is a positive commandment. The meaning of this is, accept, A-C-C-E-P-T, that is to be mekabel, to accept it upon yourself. Know it, believe it, that Hashem, our God, is one. Top page 129, devotion when saying Shema. The Mishnah Berurah writes regarding our daily recital of Shema, quote, one should concentrate at the time of reciting Shema on accepting the yoke of Malchus Shemayim, kingdom of heaven, on oneself. This includes that one is prepared to give up his life for the sanctification of God's name. For this is the meaning of Uvachol Nafshecha, to love Hashem with all your soul. The Yesod B'Shorash, end quote of the Mishnah Berurah. The Yesod B'Shorash Avoda, a famous book written by a rabbi in the 1800s, I believe, he writes that our acceptance of Malchus Shemayim, of Kingdom of Heaven, in this subsection of verses, should be tremendously joyful. It should be with such great fervor that we feel prepared to lay down our lives for the sanctification of Hashem's great name. This level of devotion is achieved especially in the verse Shema Yisrael. When reciting Shema, we are receiving a direct command from Hashem. He's calling upon us to believe in his oneness, to live for his oneness, and to be prepared to die for his oneness, his unity, as so many have been privileged to do. We will now explain the verse phrase by phrase. Shema Yisrael, hear, O Israel. A call to Israel. Shema Yisrael is a call to Israel to listen, to understand, and to accept the kingship of Hashem. This acceptance must be with absolute certainty so that it will be clear to us in our hearts, just as we recite it clearly with our lips. Top 130. Giving testimony. Avadram explains that when a Jew says Shema Yisrael, he is testifying. It is as if each person is telling another, listen to my testimony. Hashem, our God, is one, the only power in his world. The Avadram says this in his commentary on Kriya Shema. He adds, here's a footnote, He adds that this meaning is hinted to by the fact that the letter ayin in the word shema, it's written shin mem ayin, and the letter dalet in the word echad, the last letter, aleph ches dalet, they're both written larger than other letters. Together they spell the word aid, which means witness, as it is Yisrael who bears witness to Hashem's complete unity. Hashem Elokeinu, we continue with our parsing of the verse. Hashem is our God. Hashem alone is our God. There is no other besides Him. Hashem's association with Klal Yisrael, our God, Elokeinu, means the God of Israel. This would seem difficult to understand. There is no other God at all. As the verse continues, Hashem Echad, God is the one and only. So why is God not referred to as God of the entire world? To say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem, Hu HaShem Shel HaOlam. Here Israel, Hashem is the God of the whole wide world. Doesn't say that in the Shema. Doesn't say that at all. It says, here, O Israel, Hashem is our God. Our God? Not anybody else's God? Not the God of the world, whether they like it or not, whether they realize it or not? It's not how the Pasuk is written. Pasuk is written, Hashem is our God. Let's explore it. Our God means the God of Israel. This would seem difficult to understand. There is no other God at all, as the Pasuk says. Hashem is the one and only. So why is God not referred to as God of the entire world? Our rabbis in the Sifrei ask a different question. Since the Torah writes, Hashem Echad, God, the one and only, at the end of the verse, why is it necessary to write, Hashem is our God? The Sifrei answers that although He is the God of the entire world, Hashem unified, which is to say He closely associated His name with Israel. Similarly, Rambam writes that Elokeinu, our God, means, quote, He took us out of slavery and showed us His kindness and His goodness on condition that we would believe in His unity, for this is our obligation, end quote. The experiences of the Exodus from Egypt and the revelation at Sinai obligate us to remain loyal to God for all time, reciprocating God's trust and His kindness. We are the standard bearers of the truth. We must live as befits the nation that is at one with the Almighty. Top 131, the meaning of the holy names of Hashem. The basic meaning of the name of Hashem, as it is pronounced, is the master of all existence. The name as it is written means that He always existed, He exists now, and He'll always exist. Elokeinu, our God, indicates that He is all-powerful. Footnote, when mentioning any of God's names, you should think about its basic meaning. This obligation is stated in the Shulchan Aruch. When saying the four-letter name of God, besides when reciting the first verse of Shema, one must only have in mind that God is the master of all existence. In the first verse of Shema, one should also concentrate on the meaning of the name as it is written. So that means it's written a certain way, the letters Yud and K and Vav and K, and that would normally pronounce it a certain way. We don't pronounce it like that. But it's written a certain way, so we have to focus in on what that means. What meaning is ascribed to that four-letter name of God? Well, if I'm not mistaken, that is the God of mercy. When I see Elokim or Elokeinu, I think justice. When I see Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, then I think merciful God. Sefer Melchemes Mitzvah writes that the four-letter name of God, as it is written, means that God's existence is everlasting and that He brought everything into existence. Elokim, God, means that name of God means that God directs our lives with infinite wisdom according to what we deserve. Elokeinu, our God, indicates that Hashem focuses His attention on Yisrael, who cleave to Him and are called His people, His flock. The Siddur Iyun Tefillah writes that Elokeinu, our God, means that God is closely aware of what we do. Our actions, our words, and our thoughts are all known to Him. That alone is a scary, scary idea. I certainly understand when God, you know, sees my action, because A, sometimes human beings see my actions, So, you know, there's this understanding that if you're out there in the public sphere and you're walking and talking and interacting and working and shopping and playing ball, whatever it is that you're doing, I don't know what you're doing, but whatever you're doing, you're interacting with other human beings, and so they see you. So certainly God sees you. Don't be surprised if he's filming you from heaven. He is. It's just that when you hear that God also knows your thoughts, and that's why you're supposed to love your fellow man and not hate him, and then you're going to be responsible, maybe not be, maybe always be loving. But if we hate our neighbor in our hearts, not good. God legislated not to do that. Only a God who knows your thoughts can legislate that, because he's going to hold you in. Why'd you hate him? I didn't hate him. Yes, you did. Let's go back. I'll put you back into your mind and your heart, you know, when you were alive, and here's what you were thinking that day. Oh, my goodness. The Almighty knew my thoughts. Yes, he does. And yes, he did. How about my words? The answer is yes. He's, as Rabbi Victor Miller said, Ecclesiastes, it says over there, Solomon writes, God's up in heaven, you're down on earth, so watch yourself. We must have had a class on that recently because it stays in my head. God knows what you're saying because he's got the audio tape playing. So that's why you should always watch what you say. Don't run your mouth for no reason. I occasionally talk to myself, do this, do that, do this. You know, I'm not going to call somebody up and bother a person or my wife or a friend. I kind of just talk to myself. I'm not psychotic. I'm just talking to myself. Oh, I got to take out the garbage. Oh, I got to write this down. Oh, I got to do this. And so I remind myself what to do. Well, those are words that maybe they shouldn't be spoken, because if God is right next to you and he's listening to you, you know, if you were next to the King of England, you wouldn't be running your mouth, Lahabdil. If I were next to the King, Prince Charles, I would not be like, no, 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 just talking nonstop to myself. I'd be pretty quiet. You know, when you're in the presence of royalty or the presence of a big rabbi, you generally stay quiet until you're spoken to. So if God's right next to you, what do you think the answer should be? Same thing. That you should be quiet, you know, as you walk around in your house or in your car, whatever. Don't run your mouth, because the Almighty is listening. And if you want to, Rabbi Victor Miller says, if you want to find something that you can easily do and get yourself ready for the high holidays, try that. Try just being quiet and not running your mouth constantly. You know, so I have to watch myself. I got to stop talking to myself, because those are words that are coming out. Hopefully they're good words. Do this, stop in this, learn that, say this, prepare this, call this one up. But they're also mundane. I mean, to a great degree, there's, you know, not all spiritual stuff. So let's at least watch our speech. Let's at the very least get ready for Shoshana by realizing God's right next to us and he's listening. So don't run, don't prattle off like I like to do. Let's, you know, let's learn from me and stop the prattling. Let's try anyway. But look, teaching Torah is something else. I understand, and there can be no option to this. I have a class, so thank God people want to call and listen. So you got to teach the material. So this is perfectly okay, because I'm teaching Torah concepts. That's okay. But Stama's like, oh, I got to do the laundry. Oh, I got to buy a new hat. Oh, I got to pick up groceries. No, just keep that to yourself. Write it down and keep quiet. Try that. I'm going to try it. I got to work on that. Again, the Seder Eon Tefillah writes that our Elokeinu, our God, what does that word mean? That God is closely aware of what we do. Our actions, our words, and our thoughts are all known to God. Hashem's knowledge of even our innermost thoughts and his direct control over our lives, that is to say, Hashgacha Pratis, his direct control over our lives, his direct Hashgacha, these are essential aspects of our Emunah. The fact that God, that we believe that God has knowledge of our innermost thoughts and his direct control over our lives, those are essential aspects of our Emunah. This Emunah is based on the revelation at Sinai, when God spoke to the assembled millions of Israel, telling us, I am Hashem, your God. I am the one who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of slavery. End quote. During the miraculous process of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the departure from Egypt, God clearly showed his total awareness and control. One who believes in these aspects of faith, of Emunah, will truly trust in God. This is a complete fulfillment of Yichud Hashem, Emunah in the oneness of God. This Emunah defines Klal Yisrael's uniqueness among the nations, and it's the basis of the whole of the Torah. It is amazing, historically speaking, the way the world worked out, which is to say, that for 1,500 years, we Jewish people presented a radical monotheism to the world. When we were not worshiping the Baal and the Moloch and the other idols, the good ones among us were worshiping the one true God. Along comes another religion and says, "I'm not a, God's not a unity, he's a trinity." And the Jews are going, "What? Say that? Don't say that again. What? I mean, what did you just say? That's crazy. That's not at all a Jewish notion." "Oh, well, you know, you're not factoring in Jesus and the Holy Spirit." Like, Jews are going, "What? What has a dead Jew got to do with anything? There's only one God in heaven." And all throughout the Hebrew Bible, he says all day long, "I am God, I am God, there's only me, I'm the only one around, I'm the only one up here." For us grammarians, when you see God and a verb, the verb is always in the masculine singular, not in the masculine plural. Even if the name looks plural, Elohim, the verb's in the singular, right? Genesis 1, verse 1, Bereshis bara Elohim, es ha-shamayim, es ha-aretz. So the verb, asa, bara, that's third person masculine singular. There's only one God. Throughout the whole Bible, Vayomer Hashem, Vayomer Hashem, God said, God spoke. There's only one God. There's no other party in this party. Okay? Who's showing up at this, when the Almighty sits on the throne? Who else is beside him? The answer is nobody. There's nobody up there but God sitting on the throne. So for 1,500 years, we presented a radical monotheism to the world. And then for the past 2,000 years, the Christians have muddied it up with some idea about a trinity. It is an amazing thing. This emuna that we have, I'll just repeat the last sentence of the page. This faith that we have defines Israel's uniqueness among the nations. And it's the basis of the whole of the Torah. That we believe in the emuna of what? In the oneness of God. Top page 132. Hashem Echad. God is the one and only. Hashem, God of Israel, is the one God. This is going to be Rabbeinu Bachaya. Hashem, the God of Israel, is the one God. His oneness is absolute and complete. There is no other heavenly or earthly being whose oneness could compare with his oneness. End quote. He alone has always done and will always do everything. He alone, he exists. And nothing exists independently of God. And no being has been delegated any power which is independent of God. We serve him alone. We do not serve any God together with him. That's the Rashbam. Hashem Echad, God is one. That's the essence of Malchios. The Abarbanel writes that our sages included in this verse, I'm sorry, the Abarbanel writes that our sages included this verse, Hashem Elokeinu, the Shema Yisrael verse, that the sages put our Shema Yisrael verse into Malchios because of the further meaning of Hashem Echad. It means perfect and complete. God's kingdom is all-encompassing. His oneness and his kingdom will be completely revealed following the coming of Mashiach. Top 133, Hashem Echad, all his ways are good. Hashem is good and all his ways are good. That's what we should accustom ourselves to say. So says in Gemara Bracha 60b. Also 54a, one should have always accustomed himself to say, everything Hashem does is for the best. Hashem is good and all his ways are good. To understand this is to know that Hashem is one. Internalizing this recognition inspires one to love God. The goodness of all Hashem's ways will be revealed at the time of the future redemption. See Gemara Pesachim 58. Only then will we fully comprehend that Hashem is one and that his ways have always been one. Rashi's explanation of the verse. We have seen that the unity of Hashem is a vast concept. With that in mind, we'll learn Rashi's approach to our verse. Hear, O Israel, Hashem, our God. Hashem will be, in the future, will be recognized by all as Hashem, the one and only. Hashem, who now is only our God and is not recognized as God by the nations of the world, will in the future be one. He'll be recognized by all as the one God, as it is written. For then I will change the nations to speak a pure language, so they will all proclaim the name of God to worship him with a united resolve. End quote. It is also written on that, well, let me just finish it off. It's also written on that day Hashem will be one and his name will be one. The commentaries on Rashi ask, why does Rashi explain that Hashem Echad refers to a recognition which we will come to in the future? Surely this explanation contradicts that of the Gemara, which rules that the kavana one must have when reciting Shema is to accept God as King above in Shemayim, below on earth, and in all four directions. This statement surely shows that Hashem Echad means He is one now. Why then does Rashi explain it as a prophecy regarding the future? Top 134. The Maharal explains in Ger Aryeh that there is no contradiction between Rashi's comments and the Talmud. On the contrary, this is the essence of Yichud Hashem. He writes, only through knowing that in the future His oneness will be truly revealed can we appreciate that the Almighty is one now. Once we know that He is one right now, we can understand that whatever powers He has given to the angels representing the nations, due to which the Shekhinah is not clearly revealed, well, that power that He has given to the angels representing the nations takes nothing away from the oneness of God, for those powers have only been lent to those nations temporarily. In the end, when everything returns to its state of achdus, unity, in revealing Hashem's glory, it will be clear to all that Hashem is one, and all will acknowledge His oneness. Top 135, Maharal, why the Shema is in Malchios. Maharal discusses why the Talmud tells us that this verse, which does not include the word Melech, is recited in Malchios as our acceptance of God's kingdom. That's exactly my question. There's no mention of Melech per se in the Pasuk. So the Gemara is going to tell us why this verse, which does not include the word Melech, why is it in Malchios? We find this in Rosh Hashanah 32b. He writes, Hashem is king because He is one. For the essence of the Malchus of Hashem, the essence of the kingship of Hashem, is His unity, that there is no other who shares in His power. For this reason, after Shema Yisrael, we say, blessed is the name of His glorious kingdom for all eternity, because His oneness is His kingship. Therefore, reciting Shema is called accepting Malchus Shemayim. Our goal in Malchios, Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim, the acceptance of the kingdom of heaven. The Rambam, Maimonides, and Sefer HaMitzvos writes that another name for the mitzvah of Yichud Hashem, acknowledging the oneness of God, is Malchus. Excuse me. This is learned from the above-mentioned Gemara in Brachos, where the recitation of Shema is called acceptance of Malchus Shemayim. The Rambam explains that this means accepting and believing in the oneness of God. Yichud Hashem on a personal level. Yichud Hashem means to realize that He, God, is the source of all existence, the source of life. He allows each of us to have a close personal relationship with Him. Nothing can stand in the way of that relationship. Yichud Hashem, the unity of God, means not to be fooled by the transient attractions of this world, which seems so real and so powerful and so inescapable. Yichud Hashem means that my thoughts, my words and deeds are devoted to the fulfillment of the will of God as conveyed in the Torah, taught by those who pass on the genuine Masorah. Yichud Hashem, the unity of God, means to know that Hashem created each one of us with unique strengths, abilities, and circumstances. Only I can accomplish my personal share in Kvod Shemayim. Beautiful thought. Only I can do what I am obligated to do. God gave me a set of abilities, talents, weaknesses, and I got to do whatever I can, overcome the weaknesses and maximize the talents and do what I can for God. Only I can accomplish my personal share in the honor of heaven. Yichud Hashem, unifying the name of God, means it gives us a truly fulfilling purpose and direction in life. Every individual has the ability to make the fulfillment of God's will his or her aim. Each individual and Klal Yisrael as a whole have the privilege of bringing cover, honor to His name and to His holy Torah. An internalized acceptance of God as King is the true goal of our worship in Malchios, in these 10 verses about God's kingship. As the Gemara tells us, the Almighty said, say before me Malchios, Achronos, and Shofros. Malchios, in order that you will make me king over you. So that's why you got to say Malchios, the verses having to do with God's kingship. Rav Yisrael Salanter would say that it is, and that's Malchios, and that's what we're working on right now. We're in Malchios. Verses having to do with God's kingship. Rishon Salanter would say that it's easier to declare that Hashem is king above, below, and in all directions. Our worship
the lodestar. Our goal, our avoda, is to make God king over us, to lead our lives as his loyal and devoted servants. The Shema teaches us that Hashem is truly one, a oneness which encapsulates all existence, including all of my personal experience. This unity can only be realized by Klal Yisrael as one unit. Only when we all get together as one nation can we understand a little bit better and try to appreciate the unity of God. By accepting Malchus Shemayim on himself, each individual strengthens Klal Yisrael as a whole, bringing the true revelation of Klal Shemayim, of the honor of heaven, closer. May it be very soon in our days. And we'll wrap up with a summary, the concluding verse from the Torah. Shema Yisrael, hear O Israel, Hashem Elokeinu, God is our God, Hashem Echad, God is the one and only. The climax of Malchios, we declare the essential principle of Judaism, total acceptance of his rule over us. This obligates us in total devotion to Hashem, declaring his unity and complete control. This is the root of emunah, of perfect faith in him. Shema Yisrael means hear, understand with clarity, accept, testify. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem is our God. He alone is our God. His closeness to Klal Yisrael obliges us more greatly. His control over the world focuses around Klal Yisrael. He is closely involved with our lives, even knowing our innermost thoughts. And finally, Hashem Echad, God is the one and only. He is unique. He alone has the power. He is perfect. All his ways are good. This brings to love of Hashem. And finally, for the present, God is specifically the God of the Jewish people. Hashem Elokeinu. God is our God. But in the future, he'll be recognized as God by all humanity. He'll then be known as Hashem Echad. I want to thank everybody for coming out. It's a little bit of an early stop. Got a bunch of things to take care of, and we're going to start a whole new chapter, God willing, next week. It's going to be on Zichronos, Hashem's favorable remembrances, and they're going to be memorialized in verses in the Torah. So let's go ahead and take a look at that next week. God willing, we'll pick it up, and we'll start Zichronos next week. Perfectly good thing to start for a fresh day. Doesn't give us a whole lot of time before Rosh Hashanah, but hey, we'll do what we can. Wishing everybody a great rest of the day, healthy day, safe and productive day. That's Gazen Shmuel Plotzker signing off for Gulf Meadow Synagogue and our School of Jewish Studies. Take care and be well. Bye for now. Don't forget, tomorrow night, we continue in our study of Jonah, 7:30, Tanakh Tuesday. Take care and be well. Bye-bye.